Williams against Vasquez. Mr. Jacobia.
May it please the court, Larry Jakowiak for the plaintiff appellant, Garfield Williams. I believe the issue before the court is the proper scope and duration for a traffic stop where an individual gets charged with a minor traffic offense, crossing the center line, punishable by a fine only. In this case, Mr. Williams was driving down a city street, Chicago Avenue, and apparently lost consciousness, crossed the center line, hit a parking meter, causing an accident. The defendant police officer arrived on the scene, and an ambulance came shortly thereafter. Mr. Williams, the appellant, was issued a traffic citation for crossing the center line, some other minor traffic offenses.
What were those other minor traffic offenses?
I believe at the time he had an expired driver's license. Mm-hmm. There may have been a ticket for no insurance, but both those cases were dismissed on the day of trial because he did have insurance and the license had been correct.
When were they dismissed, please?
On the day of trial. The state dismissed those charges because Mr. Williams did have a license and he did have insurance and he brought in proof of that.
But he did not have proof at the scene of the accident, is that the
problem? Not at the time, that's correct.
And he didn't have his current driver's license either.
I don't believe so.
Okay, so really...
This is a suit only against the officer, and the officer knew only what was there at the scene.
That's correct.
How can the officer not have taken him into custody, given the fact that he could not, so far as the officer knew, lawfully drive the car?
Well...
You can't just leave him there.
I don't necessarily disagree, but even assuming that that would be proper to bring him into custody for these minor offenses punishable by fine only, the crossing the center line, as I stated, I believe the issue then is what is the proper scope and duration for effectuating an arrest.
The arresting officer doesn't determine the duration. The arresting officer takes him to the station house. Other people determine the duration, then still other people determine what he'll be charged with in the criminal process.
Not in a traffic offense of this nature, the officer did determine the duration. The officer signed a DUI complaint and signed the tickets against Mr. Williams, and it's based on that there was a full DUI, apparently, allegedly a DUI investigation, but undisputed is that several hours after the arrest, Mr. Williams is still in custody, and the reason he is in custody is because the defendant, the officer, had charged Mr. Williams with a DUI. And is our position
and at least three other offenses.
That's correct. That's why I submit that the issue then is it proper at that time for Mr. Williams to still be in custody for these minor traffic offenses? In the Atwater case...
Well, what do you say about Riverside against the County of McLaughlin, something like that, which said that somebody who's arrested has no Fourth Amendment complaint unless the arrest exceeds 48 hours. Your client was released in about two, I gather.
I think it was closer to four. The record...
Substantially less than 48 in any case.
It was substantially less than 48, that's correct.
Justice Scalia dissented in Riverside, saying that the court should not create a bright-line rule, but should analyze reasonableness case by case. But the majority said there was just a bright-line rule at 48 hours.
I believe that in this case, a bright-line rule should not apply.
There's either a bright-line rule or there isn't, right? That's the whole point. That was the disagreement between the majority and the dissent in Riverside about whether we would look at the facts of the case or apply a bright-line rule. So my question is, given Riverside, Is there anything left here?
I don't remember the exact charges in Riverside. However, in this case...
There were charges adequate to support a custodial arrest, as these were also after Atwater and Wren.
In this particular case, I don't necessarily believe that a bright-line rule, the rule, should even apply to this case, given that what there was probable cause for, and we submit there wasn't probable cause for, the gentleman was arrested for a DUI, so was subjected to a lengthy at least a four-hour detention for a DUI charge, and then had to suffer the consequences of that, including being on trial for 2 years until the case was dismissed on a directed verdict after the state rested their case in the criminal DUI matter.
Just out of curiosity, when he got to the station, was there some additional examination of him to determine whether he was intoxicated or...
The officer testified at the criminal trial that Mr. Williams, and there is a video as part of the record, he's an elderly gentleman, 74 years old, with arthritis and multiple knee surgeries, had allegedly undergone field sobriety tests, which would include a standing on one leg, walking in a straight line, and as demonstrated by the video, these tests were just entirely improper to even attempt to admit.
That's at the scene, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, I thought when we got to the station, did somebody else, does anybody do anything, or is they just assume he's drunk, or what's the deal?
I don't believe that there was anything further done related to the DUI investigation. He was just being held as a person is normally held for that length of time when there is a DUI charge, which is a very, very serious charge, as opposed to a minor traffic offense. So I submit that the scope and duration of the arrest and what Mr. Williams had to go through was in violation of the Fourth Amendment, given that there's only probable cause for the minor traffic offenses. Now, I see the light is on. I would ask to reserve the remaining time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel. Ms. Pastor.
May it please the court. It is undisputed that when Officer Vasquez arrived at the scene of the accident, he observed Williams's car facing the wrong way and resting on top of a parking meter. It is likewise undisputed that Williams could not produce a driver's license or proof of insurance in response to Officer Vasquez's request. Based on these facts, Officer Vasquez unquestionably had probable cause to believe that Williams had committed several state and local criminal offenses. As a result, Officer Vasquez arrested Williams, brought him to the police station, and kept him in custody for several hours. This
so
encounter.
Did Officer Vasquez keep him in custody, or whoever was in charge of the police station?
Well, Your Honor, the officer had to finish completing the paperwork incident to the arrest.
And I guess the allegation here is that Officer Vasquez, in effect, lied with respect to the DUI. I mean, that's the allegation, am I correct?
There was no probable cause.
You just can't reconcile the testimony. He either gave the sobriety test or he didn't. He either failed it or he didn't.
That's correct, Your Honor. And so those facts are in dispute, but they're not material.
So we're really not looking for any systemic violation on the part of the city of Chicago or anyone else here with respect to how long the man was held.
Yes, Your Honor, as the court noted, the charge is only brought against Officer Vasquez, not the city.
I point that out because it would implicate the Riverside case much more directly.
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct.
Well, other than filling out the paperwork, what is Officer Vasquez doing with relation to Mr. Williams?
Your Honor, the record is not very clear on what actually occurred at the station house.
So it's all the arrest that is at issue, is that right? Nothing after that when he gets to the station?
Well, Your Honor, the city would contend that this claim is, in fact, a false arrest claim. And so and it's styled as such. And so, in fact, the answer to your question would be yes. under the city's view, the only thing that matters is what happened at the arrest and whether or not the arrest was supported by probable cause, which it unquestionably was. Mr. Williams has shifted gears at times in this litigation, and particularly in his reply brief has began to assert that his claim really has to do with the length of the time he spends at the station house. And to that end, claims that I believe he's asserting that he spent much longer at the station house processing the DUI claims than he would have been at the station house had it only been the traffic offenses being charged.
Does he give us any factual basis for that?
He certainly does not, Your Honor. There's simply nothing in the record to indicate that there was any distinction between how long he would have had to stay there had the traffic offenses only been at issue.
How could we tell? Are there any published data on the normal length of time to process traffic stops?
Your Honor, I'm certainly not aware of that, and it's certainly not in the record in this case.
In your brief, you talked about the closely related defense doctrine, and I gather you believe it does not apply in this case simply because Mr. Williams was charged with the other offenses. Is there very strong authority for that proposition? That it does not that the closely related offense doctrine only applies when the person is not charged with the other offenses?
Your Honor, we are making an inference that that's the case from the line of case law about closely related offense. In all those cases, the person wasn't actually charged with the original offense that was the basis for the arrest. The person was only then subsequently charged with some offense that was either closely related or was not.
But in this case, we really wouldn't have to reach that question if we take your general view of the case. Am I right?
Absolutely, Your Honor. We think the closely related offense doctrine simply doesn't apply in this case. There was probable cause to support the arrest on at least one, if not four, offenses, and that's really the end of the matter. This court mentioned the Atwater case. We feel that the Atwater case controls almost entirely. There's really no measurable difference between what happened to Ms. Atwater in that case and what happened to Mr. Williams in this case.
I mean, suppose what the person actually does is come up to an officer and insult him, spit in his face, and let's suppose that's a violation of some ordinance, and the officer takes him in and charges him with first-degree murder, as a result of which he's held for a much longer time than he ordinarily would be held process him for violating some local disrespect ordinance. Is it inconceivable that that's a Fourth Amendment problem?
Your Honor, our understanding of the law is that that certainly would be a constitutional injury, but it would not be a Fourth Amendment problem. As long as there was probable cause to arrest him initially and bring him down to the police station for booking. Now, the fact that the person in your hypothetical is detained for much longer than he would have been otherwise and forced to go to trial on these groundless charges.
Now, whether he's forced to go to trial is completely immaterial.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out whether there is any possible claim based on the length of detention.
Well, Your Honor, I think then county...
Let's just suppose that the city agrees to stipulate that violation of the disrespect ordinance is normally processed in 1 hour, and that murder suspects are ordinarily held until a court can decide on bail.
In that case, Your Honor, I think County of Riverside comes into play. And as this court had mentioned earlier, County of Riverside established this bright line rule that as long as there's probable cause to support the arrest.
But it was agreed that the charge in Riverside County was a real charge supported by probable cause. The hypothetical I'm trying to get you to think of, because your opponent says it's not so hypothetical, is a phony charge. Right? There's a real charge and a phony charge. And the real charge is usually processed in much less time than the phony charge.
Nevertheless, Your Honor, County of Riverside did say, well, I think the key about County of Riverside is that there was a presumption that you could be held for up to 48 hours before being brought before a magistrate for a determination of probable cause. In that case, I certainly believe that the Supreme Court said that this presumption can be rebutted if you can show that you were at the station house and were kept there for longer than necessary for an improper purpose, such as harassment, such as delay for delay's sake. And so perhaps that would take care of your hypothetical, Your Honor. But I feel necessary to point out that it's simply those are not the facts here. Mr. Williams, even taking Mr. Williams' version of the facts, was at the station house for no more than a few hours. There was probable cause on several offenses, and there's no evidence in the record to suggest that he was held for longer than he would have been had the DUI charge not been part of the equation. And furthermore, there was no evidence that the seizure, the detention was unreasonable, that it was improper, that it was for an improper purpose. And so there's simply no basis for rebutting the presumption established in the County of Riverside case that a detention of up to 48 hours is reasonable.
When was it all discovered that he had a license, that he had insurance, and I guess that he wasn't drunk?
At his state court criminal trial, which happened...
All the way to that, huh?
Well, he brought, I believe, the proof of the fact that he had a license and had valid insurance at the time of the incident to his state court criminal trial.
I don't understand why the charges were dismissed, because if I understand the statutes, what they require is that you have with you a valid driver's license and proof of insurance. And those statutes were violated. The fact that you have an insurance policy doesn't satisfy the statute.
Your Honor, you're correct. It happens to be the policy of the state's attorney's office that if you can show that at the time of your arrest that you had a valid license and valid proof of insurance, that they dismiss those charges.
So the state's attorney basically bought this case.
I'm not sure I understand your Honor's use.
Had your adversary's client been prosecuted and convicted on those other charges, which he plainly was guilty of, presumably this case would not have been filed.
It's certainly possible, Your Honor. I don't know. But as you pointed out, the key to a Fourth Amendment false arrest claim is what the officer knew at the time of the incident, and what Officer Vasquez knew at the time of the incident was that this gentleman did not have a driver's license, did not have proof of insurance, had crossed the center line, and had potentially destroyed, or rather, harmed municipal property. If there are no further questions, I would simply ask this court to respectfully ask this court to affirm the judgment of the district court. Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Jakowiak?
If I could just quickly address the hypothetical that the court raised, I believe that, as in this case, if a person is arrested on a minor ordinance, and, for example, if there's a policy of only keeping a person in custody for 1 hour, and several hours later, or several days later, the person is still in custody, that person is under arrest. The person is not free to leave. And I think it's well to remember that under the common law, a false arrest and a false imprisonment claim.
What is the evidence that we could rely on for the proposition that being processed on 4 ordinance violations takes materially more time than being processed for 3? Because you concede that there was probable cause to arrest your client for at least three separate offenses.
Well, there's a world of difference between a minor traffic offense crossing the center line.
So you say. I'm asking whether there's any data to support that proposition.
Well, I believe that there's loads of books and classes that officers take and training dealing with DUIs, how to affect a DUI arrest, probable cause for DUI, investigating a DUI.
You're missing the question I'm asking. The question I'm asking is, how do we know that there is a time difference between arrest and release, between somebody arrested for 3 municipal ordinance or statute violations, these are state statutes I take it, and somebody arrested for 4, where the fourth is DUI? One could do an empirical study of some kind. Maybe the police actually publish data.
One could, but it's not part of the record in this case, and I think that the important fact relative to that...
Might be able to get an affidavit from some police officers about average time.
Perhaps.
But that didn't happen either.
I would just quickly point out that in this case, attached to the appellant's opening brief is the city ordinance, which was charged for traffic lanes, and that's a fine-only offense. And I believe that when you have someone charged and taken into custody on a fine-only offense, as opposed to a DUI where there's a possibility of spending a year in jail, that the scope and the duration of the detention have to be examined differently. The same thing would apply if someone's brought into custody
for... What's the maximum punishment under Illinois law for driving without a license?
I'm not sure about that. But it is a charge which typically a person is just issued a ticket at the scene, and it's not forced to undergo the nature, the scope and the nature of the detention that Mr. Williams was in this case, including the DUI investigation.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you very much.
The case will be taken under advisement.